Kevin, lots to discuss on the goaltending front. I guess I'll start with the orders. Mike Smith comes back, and even in a game where, you know, 4 goals on 11 shots in Winnipeg, even if you include that game, he still has a .940 save percentage. He's come back and, like, looked phenomenal. I know you were the one who talked, you know, working with Adam Francilia just as a trainer, because the one thing you pointed out was we likely won't see Mike Smith sprawled on his stomach. I don't think I've seen him on his stomach once so far in his starts.
Oh, that's like thumbs up all around, because that was kind of the key. And it's not it's going to happen at some point. You're going to get extended. You're going to end up off balance. The nature of offense is too dynamic for you to be able to play everything perfectly as a goaltender. And when you get in compromised positions, sometimes you got to go outside your box. And in Mike's case, though, the difference was when he got reaching and got extended and went outside the box, that was what happened, and it happened, frankly, probably a little too often. And so, to me, this was a perfect marriage, but I didn't expect it to work this quickly, and it's a credit to him. But it was a perfect marriage between the things Francilia wants to build in terms of the structure of your body and how it moves, and the mechanics of movement that I know Dustin Schwartz also supports and teaches. So the fact that it's happening there, like, I don't know if you have the same translation between off-ice to on-ice everywhere that you're having for Mike Smith in Edmonton, just given, you know, some of those principles that I know Dusty believes in. So that's great. And the best news is we get to see Mikko Koskinen again, the Mikko Koskinen that we've seen for the past couple of seasons, who, you know, frankly, at times maybe took a little too much heat. I think last year we talked about how much better his numbers were, you know, adjusted compared to raw. But at the same time, it was pretty clear that there were things he needed to do to maintain that in terms of the work with Schwartz, and that he thrived on that type of work, and he wasn't allowed to earlier this season because they played the wheels off him. So the best news for Oilers fans is you're kind of the best of both worlds. You're getting Mike Smith making improvements at the age of 38, and it's allowing you to get Mikko back to, like, you know, his last couple of starts have been really good. So a lot of positives in a division, a North division, that's bleeding goals, frankly, everywhere else pretty much.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Kev, everybody's saying that. But, like, I really think it, okay, I looked at the numbers. The North right now is averaging 3.12 goals per game, right? The rest, the other divisions, scoring is down. Actually, scoring's down, even if you include the North, who is on a, you know, great run, and they have the most offensive guys. I expected it to be the high-scoring division. But goals in the NHL are actually at 2.94 this year. Last year, they were 2.97. And that's at the end of the year when usually scoring goes down. Like, scoring is actually down across the NHL, and that probably makes the North look better, and everybody wants to say, oh, it's their defensive systems. I completely disagree. There's just way more skill in the North Division than there are in a lot of these other teams combined.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it. I mean, I've got Hockey Reference up, and I pulled it up in advance of
I want to point one thing out, though. Keep in mind that Hockey Reference includes shootout goals. So that's why when it says 3.02 goals per game, that's actually misleading.
Last year?
I calculated, okay. Yeah. So that's misleading, because this year they have it at, I think, 2.97. It's actually 2.94 because they include shootout goals. Why? I have no idea.
Okay, so that aside, like, you're not wrong, right? Like, it was actually you that made this point to me going into the season. What was this going to look like for goaltenders in the North? In large part because there's so much talent up here. I mean, just look at the top scorers in the National Hockey League. They're all from the North, and it's McDavid and Dreisaitl at Edmonton. It's you know, Marner and Matthews in Toronto. And even though the Canucks have struggled, like, and Elias Pettersson hasn't had the year he normally has, like, who's stopping that one-timer when he does get it off? We watched it last night as the Canucks tied that game against Winnipeg. Like, it was literally crossbar on one, blew the mask right off Connor Hellebuyck on the second one, and then scored on the third one, all on the same power play with the goalie to tie the game. Like, you're not stopping that. And so, you know, there's a lot of that type of talent in the North Division. And so you kind of predicted this, frankly. And no, you're right. I'll listen to arguments that the North doesn't defend poorly and we can look at numbers this year. But overall, like last season, they did. Like, when it came to those types of high danger chances, like, out of the North Division teams that last year, the Canadian teams, like seven teams, only one of them wasn't even in the top half of the league, and five of them were in the bottom eight. So they do have a tendency, traditionally, at least in the past couple of seasons, to give up a lot of those good, high-quality scoring chances. And, hey, maybe part of that is, you know, at least right now, is they're always playing against teams that are really good at creating it, right? So we've got a situation now where goals, you're right, are slightly down across the league, at the same time that save percentage is down across the league. And to me, that speaks to, like you said, the quality of shooters in the North and the type of offense they're generating. But I do think league-wide, we've seen a trend towards quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. The reason Bill Peters isn't coaching in this league is off ice. But the stuff he used to do as a coach was the opposite. Like that, you know, and Mike Babcock was the same way in Toronto. Like this whole filter it towards the net, pass off pad, jam it in the front and create, like that's not what's going on right now. Since the Penguins won consecutive cups, playing an east-west game and trying to create offense laterally and eliminate that same type of chance at the other end. And then Washington basically, not only did they copycat it, like they literally used the analytics from ClearSight Analytics showing this to allow their goalie coach to change the way they attacked. And I think more and more teams are coming to that. So power plays play a role in this too, right? You get a higher percentage of high-quality chances out of a power play, and I see that power play percentage is up. So that accounts maybe for some of the save percentage being down, despite goals being down, right? Because you're not, it's not a, power plays aren't a volume proposition, right? They're a find your quality, get your option, get Pettersson on the one-timer here, type of situation. But I think even outside of power plays, there are fewer and fewer teams and coaches. You'll hear the cliches post game sometimes, you know, when they can't beat a goaltender, oh, we need more traffic, we need more of that stuff. But for the most part, that's not how teams are trying to create offense anymore, at least the good ones. And more teams are copying how the good ones have had success, and that's by creating lateral plays, working the puck down low, low high, creating plays to the front of the net from the corners rather than from the points. Like the point shot's gone the way of the dodo bird. So I think that's how you can have that juxtaposition of scoring being down and save percentage being down. The answer is more quality shots, and in the case of the North, from high-quality shooters.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. And, Kev, I felt that Markstrom last year, you know, covered up a lot of the weaknesses in Vancouver. Now he's gone. And Vancouver, like, I don't think their goaltenders are straight up as good as Markstrom, and I'm not sure the defense in front has been any better, and they're leaking a lot of goals. So what's the Canucks' goaltending problems? How can it be solved?
Well, you're going to see this, obviously, with Edmonton coming in here for two this week. That's going to be front and center. It's a combination of things, Jason. As much as Markstrom covered up the warts for this team over the last couple of seasons, and we talked a lot about that, about how he, you know, arguably should have been a Vezina candidate because he was facing such high-quality chances and doing so well against them. Like, the only guy statistically better last year was Hellebuck. And so he should have been in that conversation and probably higher than finishing fourth in it. They've actually gotten worse defensively. Like, they are 31st in the National Hockey League across most of the important categories when it comes to quality and volume of shots and, you know, and some of the expected models that they are giving up right now. Not good. And they don't have Markstrom back there to bail them out. And it's interesting because it's not just, like, Braden Holtby has struggled. Thatcher Demko has had moments but been unable to sustain it. And when you do all the math and look at ClearSight Analytics, at the end of the day, both of them are slightly below expected. The fact that when you look at their raw numbers, like I think they're both below 900, or Demko's just slightly above and Holtby's well below, like the fact that they're only slightly below expected despite that tells you how bad the defending has been. It has gotten a lot better in the last seven games, but they don't have results as a team to show for it. Up until those last seven games, like it was 3, 4, 5 breakaways a night. Like it wasn't just they were bad defensively. They were making horrendous way too casual decisions with the puck on offense and allowing odd man rushes the other way. They have a very active defense, but nobody was bothering to sort of make up for the defenseman when he pinched and sort of come back and sort of make sure you were a safety valve or to prevent those odd man rushes. And it was just an endless stream of, like, I saw more 2-on-0s in the first month of the Canucks season than I'd seen in beer league in the last 5 years, and that's saying something. So it's been an entire package. They haven't been good defensively. But also, when you don't have Markstrom there, like, I think that affects your confidence as a team. Like, he allowed young players, and this is a defense that has Quinn Hughes, that has Ole Olevi back there. Markstrom allowed young players to play a little freely, right? Like, not worrying that every mistake was going to end up in the back of your net. And that's been the case this year. Outside of a couple spurts by Demko, you know, there hasn't been that bailout save. So you kind of look at it. Last night was probably the first one where you looked at it and was like, okay, like, Holtby gave up a couple that he shouldn't have, and that cost them the game. In a lot of the games, it's been like, okay, well, the goaltenders gave up a whole bunch, but really, like, which one did you expect them to stop? And so they haven't had the sort of those big saves on those tough chances. They've been porous defensively, and now, you know, they're getting some of it, but just not quite enough. It hasn't been enough to produce results. And the interesting thing to me is, Demko's kind of been better throughout, certainly of late. Holtby had one really good start in Calgary, but the workload wasn't exceptionally tough. They went back to Demko the next day. He gives up a breakaway goal early to the Jets and then shuts the door and was really good. And then they didn't go back to him. I think given the lack of margin for error here, I would expect we're going to see Thatcher Demko in a much steadier dose. I would expect the Oilers see him twice in a row. And I was surprised, actually, that they went back to Braden Holtby last night. And, you know, frankly, it cost them the game because he wasn't good enough.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. And, Kev, there's lots of talk about the Olympic team moving forward for Canada. And the conversation when it turns to goaltenders, you know, you've got Carey Price, although, man, the way Carey Price is playing this year, I don't even think he'd be in the top three. But, you know, there's Carter Hart in Philly. You know, there's Jordan Binnington. What about Mackenzie Blackwood and the New Jersey Devils, man? Last year, he was really good, and he seems to have picked it up this year. Is he on par with Carter Hart, or maybe slid slightly ahead of him?
Well, hey, let's not forget old man Marc-Andre Fleury down in Vegas, because he's had a hell of a start too. But you're right. I think there are people in Jersey who have kind of said for the last couple of seasons, like, they keep hearing the Carter Hart hype. And believe me, I'm a part of that. Like, I'm a big Carter Hart guy, and I think he's, like, you know, a big part of the future of goaltending in the National Hockey League. But a lot of people in Jersey have kind of been saying for a couple of years that, hey, like, don't forget our guy Mackenzie Blackwood. And they're right. And right now, I mean, we've got a pretty small sample size this season, but when you go over the past couple of seasons, even as good as Hart has been in an at times very tough defensive environment in Philadelphia, like, Mackenzie Blackwood has been better. He really has. And he doesn't get enough, like, a lot of the sort of short lists I saw, you know, you're right, they had Price, they had Binnington, and then they had Carter Hart. And I'm not so sure that's fair. I would actually probably put, as much as I love Carter Hart and as good as I think he is, I would probably put Blackwood on that list ahead of him right now. Like, he's built like a linebacker. He is massive. He is explosive. And he's learning how to use that only when needed, that explosiveness, and rely on the other thing, the size and technical game, to sort of provide a more consistent foundation, and then going outside of the box with the explosiveness only when needed. And, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise. Eddie Lack, who was in New Jersey for a while before retiring, like, told me this kid was going to be legit, like, top five goaltender in the NHL. He just needed a couple of years to sort of put that balance together, and it's happened even faster than he told me it would. And he needs to be in that conversation. Statistically, he's amongst the top couple of goaltenders in the league right now. Smaller sample size because he missed time with COVID, but he's been that good. So if you're one of the best in the NHL, you certainly need to be in the conversation as a top three guy for Team Canada at the Olympics. And, you know, to me right now, that list would probably be, you know, Blackwood and Binnington at the top, and then, you know, whether it's a Hart or, like you said, Price is getting harder to pick the way the season is going, but you never rule him out, or a veteran like Marc-Andre Fleury, like that would kind of be the mix for me, and absolutely, Blackwood and Binnington would be at the top of it at this point.
Great stuff. One last one for you, Kev. Give me your thoughts. We got a texter wondering about Mike Smith playing deep in his net and how he's successful at it.
Well, I mean, he's always had success that way. I mean, I guess, like, he's always played that way. I shouldn't say always, but ever since Arizona, right? He went to Arizona from Tampa Bay, was almost out of the league in Tampa Bay, goes to Arizona. Sean Burke was a goaltending coach there, and he learned this from Benoit Lehre. Of course, Benoit Lehre, Henrik Lundqvist, right? That inside-out, work-from-the-goal-line-out mentality. And it suited Smith's game because of his size. And he has really good hands. Like, Mike Smith, you know this, like, he's an athlete. He can go out and play other sports, and he probably, like, he's not a goalie who just moves around because he's trained himself in the art of goaltending and he understands that position. Like, he could go out and play other sports and have success immediately. I think he actually played a lot of, like baseball or fast pitch, when he was younger. So he's got really good hands for a guy his size. So it made all the sense in the world to sort of limit how far he had to move. And in part because when he moved before, it was body first instead of tracking first, and that led to him opening up and reaching and all the things we discussed that lead to him on his belly. Now when you add that, like you add all those sort of natural elements, the size, the fact he can be on his knees against the post and cover to the crossbar, the fact he keeps his hands more balanced out in front of him so he can maintain, keep them active as he moves, rather than having really good active hands but losing them as soon as he starts to move because they would pull back to try and counterbalance him. Like, it's just the changes. It was already sort of a natural thing for him to play that way, and he was comfortable with it. Not all goalies are, but he got comfortable with it with Sean Burke in Arizona. But now you add that foundation that allow him to make those movements while staying balanced, keeping his hands off his body. I mean, look for that when he's playing. His hands are now out in front of them. They're not pulled back with his elbows pulled back. And that sort of facilitates a lot of the other elements we've discussed and allows him to maintain access to those hands even when he's moving. And it's just, like, it's taking all those natural strengths that made that style work for him and just accentuating them, making it that much better so that the things he was good when he was set or maintain more as he moves around the crease and his access to them doesn't disappear as soon as you make him move.
Great stuff. Kev, we love it. We will watch the two games with interest. Oilers come in. They're on fire offensively and defensively. It'll be a tough matchup for the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow and Thursday. Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Canucks season could be over by Thursday.